So thank you for coming. As you all know, call it Vyas Pooja in honor of the representatives of Srila Vyasadeva. Of course, everyone's aim in the Hare Krishna movement is to go back to Krishna. Prema Pumartha Mahan, that's the purpose. And somehow or another, we're trying to figure out how to do it. And in order to do it, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Vaide Akuti, how to do it eagerly, you have to follow in the footsteps of the previous, especially the six Goswamis. Because we're all Rupanugas, or aspiring Rupanugas, trying to follow in the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami. And therefore, he's given us books such as the Master of Devotion to understand what is the science of becoming conscious of Krishna. And part of that, he says, Adau Guru Ashraya, that we're supposed to take shelter of a guru. Of course, what that shelter, if it was so simple, there would be a lot of other information having to be given to us so we can understand what that actually means. Of course, the original guru is either Lord Nityananda, he's the original spiritual master, and he resides in our heart as the super soul. So it's not that understanding what taking shelter of a guru is impossible to know, or everyone has a different opinion what that is. That Lord Nityananda, he knows perfectly well, being the original guru, and it's because he's expanded himself as the super soul. Therefore, the super soul can also let us know what that means. But the super soul has also appeared as in this form of Srila Vyasadeva to help us understand these things. Because it says such things as Tasmat Guru Prapadyante, Ignatya, Shreya Uttama, that if one wants to know the truth, one has to take shelter of Guru. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is also mentioned in the next of the Caitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 1, chapter 1, text 47, that Guru, Shiksha Guru Ke, that the Guru, or the Shiksha Guru, is also the Guru. Actually, we make advance in spiritual life principally by instructions, hearing instructions, and seeing examples. When we say that through the mercy of the devotees, we make spiritual advancement, that means we hear from them how they become advanced in Krishna consciousness. And advanced in Krishna consciousness means, as I was explaining this morning, the eagerness to hear. Why does one become eager to hear? Because if we hear sufficiently, then we can actually see what's being talked about. And if we see what's being talked about, then we actually have a clear path what to do in order to actually come to the platform of remembering Krishna and becoming absorbed in love for him. So the Ganesha devotee, he reads the books, Prabhupada's books, and maybe he sometimes are inspired to, by the books, because Prabhupada says that, well, probably gives, in the Krishna book, he gives three different levels of devotion. One is that the materialists, they sometimes, sometimes you could say a devotee on it, not on the second class platform, the Kanista devotee also. Sometimes you read the books, especially the Krishna book, because it seems like very nice pastime. But the second class devotee that we're aspiring to become, when they read the books, then they become enlightened and enlivened by reading the books. And the first class devotee, by reading the books, they're actually in the book. They're actually right there in Krishna's pastime. We can imitate, or simply by some magic, come to the first class platform, but at least we can aspire to come to the second class platform. So that's what our association, the society, and all the different arrangements that are made, that Prabhupada made, to help us come to the second class platform so that eventually we can actually come to the first class platform. So that our path is clear, how to become Krishna conscious, and we're encouraged to do so. And hearing is the most important process, and therefore Shiksha is the actual essence, because Krishna in his name, Krishna in his instructions, Krishna in his pastimes, they're all absolute. It is simply a question of hearing, appreciating, understanding, and associating with Krishna through his hearing about him. Therefore, Shiksha Guru Ke. The Shiksha Guru is the principal method, or hearing Shiksha instructions is the principal method of advancement. Prabhupada mentions that there are two different types of Shiksha Gurus. One is actually situated in transcendence and sees everything objectively. So objectively means that one understands everything from the absolute point of view. The person in transcendence who has actually met Krishna, who's met Krishna's eternal associates, they see everything from that perspective. And the other type of Shiksha Guru is one who hasn't come to the platform of personally meeting Krishna and his associates, but has some experience of the process by which one comes to that platform. And so they see that's called subjective. They're both actually bona fide representatives of Krishna, the Super Soul. The Prabhupada says that the Acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches his disciples with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens to them the activities of devotional service. In other words, in our society, we recognize the Prabhupada was actually in the first category. The Prabhupada was actually the devotee who was situated in transcendence and sort of, because he had personally had his personal association with Krishna and with his associates, he could see everything from that point of view, from that objective point of view. Now I myself, I'm certainly not anywhere near that platform, but still, it is not that I don't have any experience of Krishna consciousness. In other words, according to the mercy that Prabhupada has given me and the devotees have given me, therefore, I can simply try to explain whatever I've understood and experienced according to my level of understanding. But in our society, especially, we should understand that since Prabhupada has given us his books, and because Prabhupada has given us his instructions, he's given us the society and asked us to organize the society in a certain way. So, as much as I've understood and can help those within the society to appreciate Prabhupada and come to Prabhupada's platform, or help come to that platform, then that's what I see as my service as taking disciples. In other words, if the disciples think that every activity and every word of the spiritual master is absolute, that may be alright if the words are actually absolute. But as long as one is not actually on the transcendental platform, where one has actually met Prabhupada, actually associated with Prabhupada, completely surrendered to Prabhupada, and therefore is completely connected with Krishna, and the disciple succession, it's not that every word is absolute. On the same way, it is said, Tad vidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service to him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take shelter of those who are giving initiation or instructions within our society, because that's what Krishna says, That's the method by which we make advancement. And especially diksha, diksha is given to fix the disciples in the shiksha. Because if one thinks that everyone is ordinary, then that's called maya. If one comes to the spiritual platform, then everyone is extraordinary. In the material world, everyone is completely ordinary, except for oneself. But on the spiritual platform, everything is wonderful. Everyone is seen as equally, practically equally as wonderful as Krishna is, because there is no simultaneously one indifference. Therefore, some respect is given to different devotees, because we have to learn respect. Without learning respect, then we don't make any advancement, because advancement means learning how to respect everyone. So we have to, first of all, respect the devotees, and then we have to learn how to respect all living entities, in relation to Krishna, of course. Therefore, there is different honor given to the spiritual master, but as we know, as Prabhupada said, that the spiritual master is not one's identity. My identity is not guru. My identity is das anudasa, servant of the service of Krishna. As a matter of fact, guru means one who's perfect. Guru means one who's perfectly a servant of the service. Not that the guru is something extraordinary, as Srila Prabhupada used to say. Actually, the guru is like a peon, the postmaster. He's the postal clerk in the office, or in the, who's delivering the mail. I don't know what they call it here. The mail deliverer, the postman. It's not that the postman has to be extraordinary, but the message that he's delivering is extraordinary. Not that you don't like the postman, therefore you don't accept the letter. That may be true, but if the letter contains a lot of money, then you probably overlook any defects in the postman and accept the lakshmi. Similarly, the message is very heavy, therefore, because one is delivering the message, therefore one is given some respect. And of course, that message is learning how to respect everyone, all of the entities, but especially beginning with respecting the devotees, appreciating how the devotees are engaged, especially appreciating how the devotees are engaged in devotional service and honoring them accordingly. Of course, for those who are accepting disciples, that becomes quite a burden in the sense that it's easy to show respect to others, but if everyone's showing you respect, then the difficulty is to understand that actually all the respect really goes to one's own spiritual master and to Krishna, the super soul in the heart, because just so happens the super soul happens to be doing everything through his energies, so that makes him worthy of the respect. And the one's spiritual master, by his mercy, one has actually come in contact with this knowledge by which one understands that one is nothing but the insignificant servant of the servant of Krishna's devotees. But, of course, if the difficulty is, has been expressed, is that the maya is always trying to delude us by so many different allurements. So one of the allurements, of course, is the idea of dhanam, dhanam, and sundarim, and kavitam jagadisha kamaye. Therefore, the spiritual master, his difficulty is that he has to remain a humble servant and be qualified or learn how to offer everything back to Krishna and to his spiritual master. Not to take credit for one's own, for one's activities, knowing well that whatever credit there is, it actually goes to one's spiritual master and Krishna. And that way one can always remain meek and humble. So that's our goal, is to realize that we're actually Krishna's eternal servants and the servants of Krishna's service. So Prabhupada, he perfectly realized that. Therefore we can read in the Lilamrita how Prabhupada, he went to this big gathering in San Francisco, where there are many popular rock groups. I don't know if they're popular anymore. Probably no one has ever heard of them. Moby Grape. Led Zeppelin. Grateful Dead. Yeah. Oh, that was different. They were pretty good for a long time. In any case, there were thousands of people there. Intoxicated hippies, actually. And they showed Prabhupada, even though they're all intoxicated, they showed Prabhupada so much respect. But Prabhupada, he was completely, as I believe it was Shyama Sundar who was giving his narration or his commentary on that in the Lilamrita, his experience, that Prabhupada was completely unaffected by any kind of honor that was being given to him. Similarly, there is a case where one time Prabhupada was in Montreal, and one man stood up and started to criticize Prabhupada. Why are you misleading all these young boys and girls, etc., etc.? And Prabhupada just sat there and tolerated it. So Gopal Krishna Prabhu at that time, he asked Prabhupada at the end, he said, why did you tolerate this? He said, well, you know, I must have done something against a bad to this man in the past life, and therefore he's simply reciprocating, wasn't it? So Prabhupada showed us many things. Of course, not that he always tolerated whatever nonsense people said. He had not only the ability to act as a humble devotee, but he had the ability to act as an acharya and blast people and at the same time remain very humble. So that's quite an ability. To have so much love and concern for the people that he was dealing with, to actually see them as spiritual souls, that he could be a perfect instrument of Krishna, even to sometimes seemingly become angry or yell at people or to talk very strongly or to criticize, whatever, at the same time remain very humble. I don't have that ability, I can tell you. But still, we can try to understand Prabhupada's exalted position and therefore try to understand his life and his activities the best we can and try to have faith in his instructions. That Prabhupada is not that he's gone any more than Krishna is gone, any more than Rupa Goswami or the other acharyas have gone. That they're all present, they're present there by following their instructions and their examples, etc. By hearing from them, that's why we still read Srila Vyasadeva's books, that's why we read Rupa Goswami's books, and that's why we read Prabhupada's books. So, because we can actually associate with them on the transcendental platform. The eternal world is eternal. No one has died there. When the acharyas, they come here, it's not that they're waiting to die to go back to the spiritual world. They're already in the spiritual world. They just come here in a material body so that they can tell us about what the spiritual world is. And after they leave their body, it's not that they go somewhere else. They simply remain in the same place they always were, in the spiritual world. And when they come here, what they do principally is they show examples and they give us instructions. Out of the two, their instructions are the most important. Therefore, if we connect with them through the instructions, then we actually have as much association with them as we would have if they were personally present and we connect with their instructions. So, Prabhupada is our founder of Acharya. He knew how to spread Krishna consciousness in this age. Therefore, that's why we're here. If Prabhupada didn't know how to spread Krishna consciousness in this age, none of us would have been here. At least I could say I wouldn't be here. So this idea of putting Prabhupada forward in our society is not some sentiment out of humility. It's actually, that is the reality of our situation. Krishna consciousness is a very exalted platform. It is not that we can even begin to comprehend so easily what that platform actually is. But if we take to the shelter of Prabhupada's instructions, not only his instructions in the form of his books, but also how he's instructing us in a, what is it called? In a society, we could say. Sometimes we think of instructions as some kind of things written in a book. And we think of, well, you know, the books were meant for other people in a different time. But actually, the books are actually eternal. They're just as eternal as Krishna is and as everything else is in the spiritual platform. And this world that we're living in, this material world, is called a virtual reality. It appears to be real, but actually it's just a creation of our own material desires. We've created all the living entities here together. One thing we've done all together. We've created this virtual reality called the material world. But Prabhupada has given us a movement where we can actually create a real reality. That's the society of devotees. So together, following Prabhupada's instructions, we can actually create some world, real world here, in this material world, in this world of virtual reality. So part of that is the very society that Prabhupada created with its different authorities, such as the GVC, temple presidents, and also there's the gurus. Guru cannot be eliminated. Because even we take Prabhupada as the only guru, that's not possible. Prabhupada never said he was the only guru, because there are so many gurus. There's a whole disciple succession. And then at the same time, there's a super soul in everyone's heart. So if Krishna is in everyone's heart, he must have some reason for being there. It's not that he had nothing else to do. He decided he just put himself in everyone's heart. And it's not that those repeating Krishna's instructions, it's not Krishna who's actually doing it. Now, it's not that everyone is perfectly or at the same level repeating Krishna's instructions. Just like birds, they fly in the air. It's not that every bird flies equally high, but still, they're birds and they're flying in the air. So every devotee who's serving Krishna through the disciple succession, every devotee who's repeating Krishna's message, they're actually representatives of the super soul. And there may be different levels of attainment, but still it's Krishna acting through the devotees. And at the same time, we have to understand what the different levels of attainment are. We have to understand our responsibilities to the Diksha Gurus, to the Shiksha Gurus, to all the different gurus within the society, and then work harmoniously to create a real society where we can actually do something substantial, because that's what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted us to actually serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Yuga Avatar. Yuga Avatar means that he comes here in this Yuga in order to spread Krishna consciousness. So we have the main way that we're going to spread Krishna consciousness is to appreciate Prabhupada, to appreciate all the devotees especially, their service that they're rendering to this movement, and to try to understand as deeply as possible Prabhupada's instructions by hearing them, by trying to understand them, trying to put them into practice, and that way the Krishna consciousness movement will naturally spread. When we actually understand the value of Prabhupada's instructions that are contained within his book, and they're being manifested through this movement, then we can actually become encouraged, enlivened, enlighten ourselves, and then naturally we'll want to go and explain this knowledge to others. So I thank you for coming. Prabhupada used to say himself, although Prabhupada was saying it on a different platform than I was saying, that actually he didn't accept disciples. And this is the same thing that his spiritual master said. He said that actually I'm accepting so many of teachers. That my spiritual master, he saw that I was not very strong or very capable. Therefore he sent me so many different teachers to help me, so many assistants. Prabhupada said, I actually see you, he was talking to his disciples, as representatives of my Guru Maharaj. And because you're helping me, therefore Prabhupada was quite appreciative. So actually that's a fact. When the spiritual master sees that his disciples are following his instructions, because he knows perfectly well that his instructions are really coming from the disciple succession, from his spiritual master through the mercy of the super soul. When he sees that his disciples are following the instructions, then he appreciates that, how nicely they're serving his spiritual master, and therefore he learns from them how he can better serve his spiritual master too. So this is the actual reality of the situation. It is is not simply some sentiment or some false humility, but it's actually the reality of what the spiritual world, what the spiritual platform is. Because I can't say I've realized that, not that simply by repeating the words, but that is the philosophy. And as much as we can all understand that, then we can gradually see how all the devotees are representatives of Krishna, and we can learn how to properly honor all the devotees. And then by doing so, we can also learn how to properly honor all living entities. So, I thank you for coming. And all I can do is say that by your mercy, I can try and do the best I can, become a devotee, and try to appreciate Prabhupada's instructions, and by your examples, and try to follow that, and try and become advanced in Krishna consciousness myself. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Srila
Prabhupada
Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki
Jai.
Gaur Premanande. I don't know if this is part of, I don't know if it's the question answer. Maybe you can ask the question later. You can. Okay. So what's the next part?
Yeah, the Narita, the offerings.
Actually, if you do have a question, is it relevant to what I just was talking about?
It's about Guru.
Okay, sure. Let's.
But I hope it will be not striking you.
Striking me? I hope so too.
I would like to hear. Sometimes some devotees come there into the temple in Amsterdam, and they say that there is some guru coming who is more advanced than any guru in this crowd. And they invited us. So how do you respond to that question?
Well, we should appreciate their sentiment. That Prabhupada said that probably every disciple generally thinks his guru is more advanced than everyone else. Not that my guru is coming, he's actually pretty rotten cold in person. By your mercy, may you come and encourage him, because what do you expect him to say? So we can appreciate that, and we can learn from them, you know, how to honor the devotees. Now, whether he's the most advanced about, you know, more than anyone else, it's quite easy to say that, you know, my guru is more advanced than everyone else. But generally, if the guru is quite advanced, advancement will mean that they'll be the humblest. Because humility is the beginning of transcendental realization. And humble means that they'll be able to honor everyone else's service. So if this devotee is actually appreciative of everyone else's service and is honoring all the other devotees and feels himself the lowest, like Srimati Radharani and all the other Mahabhagavats, then we can appreciate that this devotee is quite advanced. But if this devotee is thinking, I'm the most advanced, then we should respect them within the mind, but not associate with them too intimately.
Could you maybe a little bit more explain how it worked that Prabhupada was also learning from the disciples and more how it was working?
Well, it works the same way that it works for all of us. The drishtai bhava janitara bhuchas vidosha na praprita bhakta janasi pasya anet gangam basam nakula buddha pena pankar brahma dravatram Apigachiti Nira Dharma. Is that right? Oh. I left out one word there. What was that word I left out? What's that? We have to see how the devotees are actually engaged in devotional service. Now, there may be so many defects that a devotee is doing. For instance, they may be eating with their left hand sometimes, or not washing their hands before they eat. There may be so many different things that they're doing. So not that we don't see that they're defects. Not that, you know, this devotee is eating with his left hand, but it's not a defect because he's a devotee. But at the same time, we should see just like the pox on the moon. The moon has so many pox on it, but if we just look at the moon and criticize the moon for having so many pox on it, then we won't be able to appreciate the sunshine that it's giving. Therefore, our principal interest is trying to see the sunshine that's being given out by the devotees, how much they're actually engaged in devotional service, and not look so much at the defects. Now, for one who's actually on the spiritual platform that Prabhupada was, that people naturally, he could at the same time explain defects, the defects that people had. People did understand that he was actually doing it sincerely to help them. Because like Prabhupada was one time, he was at a talking to the professor, actually not only just the professor, but the head of a whole university, Wayne State University. And during the conversation, Prabhupada started to call the head of Wayne State University a demon. I said, "You're a demon." But the man smiled and he accepted it. "Yes, I'm a demon." Because Prabhupada explained it very nicely, you know, how he was actually a demon. And the person could actually understand that it was due to his loving feelings towards him that he was actually explaining how he was a demon. So a person who's actually on that transcendental platform, who sees, can see the soul and how the soul is voluntarily engaging himself in devotional service to Krishna, then they can appreciate that. And at the same time, they know that the super soul, they're completely dependent on the super soul. No, everyone is completely dependent on the super soul. We can't do anything. The activities of this body, of this mind, of this intelligence in this world, they're conducted all the time by the super soul. He's in charge of everything. Therefore, the devotee who's awake in Krishna consciousness, he realizes his dependency on Krishna, complete dependency on Krishna. Therefore, when he sees that others are also learning how to depend upon Krishna, he appreciates that. He knows that whatever he can do is due to his spiritual master and Krishna, and that he feels that, and they're only giving him that knowledge because he feels that dependency on them. And when he sees that others are actually developing the same dependency, he appreciates that. And he knows that he's simply being used as an instrument to help them. But as he voluntarily has become dependent upon Krishna, so he also appreciates how others are voluntarily becoming dependent on Krishna too. It's not that, you know, when a spirit, like when Prabhupada was preaching, he took the second class platform. Although he may have, or he was, seeing everyone as a spiritual soul, as being a better servant to Krishna than he was, but it wasn't simply some sentiment. He was actually seeing like that. But to come down to this platform, one who's on the first class platform, he can actually come and preach in such a way, you know, from that platform, but preach in such a way as to help people on our platform make spiritual advancement. So we can't, even the first class devotee, when he comes and preaches, he doesn't imitate the first class devotee. He preaches from the second class platform. The Prabhupada gave us that knowledge because one can't be a preacher unless he had an effective preacher, unless one has that vision. If we go on and distribute books and we start distributing books and we distribute a lot of books and then we start thinking, well, I'm doing so much, I'm so empowered, I feel all this energy going through me, everyone's stopping and taking the books and now I got the secret, now I'm an empowered preacher, and then we'll rapidly become a disempowered preacher. As soon as we lose our humility and dependency on Krishna, then it's like the spark who goes away from the fire, then he can't expect to glow so brightly. So the more we feel dependent upon Krishna, the more we feel dependent upon the instructions coming down through the disciple succession, then the more we become empowered to spread Krishna consciousness. So it's not just instructions coming down through the disciple succession, it's also the example behind the instructions. So we have to feel dependent like that. Is that clear? Anything else? So often the devotees, they start, "Oh, it's all by your mercy." I think that story of you know, you're doing everything for me, etc., etc. Well, of course, I doubt whether the devotees believe that. And I don't believe it either. There's a few more people in the equation, like, you know, the super soul, the disciple succession, and a few other things. But that doesn't mean that one should disobey or just minimize the spiritual master and think, yeah, well, you're not doing everything for me, so what's the use of you anyhow? Why are we spending all this time, you know, praising you? You know, what's the show for? So we may think that. But this is what Krishna set up. You know, this is the way he set it up. I didn't set it up. None of us set it up. This is the way Krishna set it up. And we do have to go through, we do have to have authorities within this world. So even if we don't accept this person as my authority, then I'm going to have to accept someone as my authority. It's not that we're not going to have an authority. Ultimately, the only authorities that's going to help us is authorities that are going to connect us with Prabhupada. So if someone says that, you know, I can try and help you connect with Prabhupada, and we think, well, that's not good enough for me. I need someone to just, you know, take me back to record. Well, good luck. No, we have to, you know, our Prabhupada, although we may not have experience, but as Krishna is absolute, we can understand Krishna through his books. We can understand that Krishna is God because we can read Bhagavad Gita and see that there's no defect. Even we may find some defect. If we keep on reading Bhagavad Gita, then gradually we'll understand that there is no defect, that we're the defective person, not Krishna. So similarly, if we read Prabhupada's books, we examine his life, we'll see that it was perfectly aligned with Krishna's life and his teachings, and he was completely absorbed in love for Krishna. Therefore, the best I can do, or probably anyone within our society, is to try and help the devotees connect with Prabhupada. So that's not an easy thing, because that's what we're all trying to do. And Prabhupada's example and his teachings, and that way connect with all the previous acharyas, all the eternal associates with Krishna, and that way perfect our lives. And now that's the best I understood so far. Anything else? Okay. We don't want to take too long.